The month of May is the traditional month that we devote to honoring our Blessed Mother Mary. Now, it may not exactly look like May outside, but it is, in fact, May, and it is the month that we maybe stir up some special devotions in our heart to honor our Blessed Mother Mary. You know, one of the ways that we often start this is on May 1st, or thereabouts. It's traditional to maybe crown a statue of Mary with a crown or some flowers, perhaps. It was really interesting this week because I got up and I was coming over to the church on the day that the school kids were going to do the May crowning, and our little statue of Mary out in the courtyard there, instead of a traditional crown of flowers, had a big pile of snow on her head. Well, that's the first May crowning that I've ever seen where God actually crowned Mary himself with snow. A little confusion of the Feast of Our Lady of the Snows and May Day. But nonetheless, it's May, and so we honor our Blessed Mother. One of the ways that we can do that, I think, is by looking at what role Mary played in the life of Jesus and how God chose to use Mary the first time in history. And what we see is that God chose to entrust himself completely to Mary. Think how amazing that is, that God, who created everything, including creating Mary, decided to come as a little baby, helpless and completely dependent, and entrusted his whole life to Mary. I love to come into our church and see our statue of Mary over there, and often I just, when things aren't going well, when I need a little comfort, I sit and I look at that statue and I just see the little baby Jesus being held so lovingly by his mom. And I think that's the model for us. We're supposed to become like little children and entrust ourselves completely to our mother just the way Jesus did. One of the great ways we can do that is to maybe make a formal kind of act of entrustment of ourselves to Mary. Many of us did this over the course of Lent, using that book, 33 Days to Morning Glory, that the Archbishop talked about. That's not a one-time deal. If you didn't do it, you can still go get that book or a book by St. Louis de Montfort or however you'd like to do it to prepare to maybe make a special act of entrustment of your life to Mary. I know I find great comfort now, having renewed my own consecration this Lent, that I give everything to Mary. I've always pledged that, but at least in my heart, it seems much renewed now. Whenever there's much difficulty or struggle, or I don't know what to do, or there's something important going to happen, I'm like, Mary, I give it to you. I'm totally given to Jesus through you. And I just trust then that Mary will make good things happen. It's not that we can't go straight to Jesus, and of course we do. Our primary relationship is with Jesus, but that's why we love Mary. If God chose to come to us through Mary, he continues to come to us through Mary, and he wishes that we would go to him through this beautiful channel of grace that he chose to create, the greatest of his creatures. So we can have great calm in knowing the protection of our Blessed Mother, just the way any child would in the arms of its mother. Something else we might consider, though, doing this May. You know, I mentioned the crown of flowers that sometimes we'll place on a statue of Mary, and that's a beautiful tradition, too. But, you know, that idea of crowning Mary with flowers is really the origin of our tradition of the rosary. You know, the word rosary, it sounds like rose, because it's meant to be like a little crown of roses, a little crown of flowers. In fact, the word chaplet that we use to describe a part of the rosary, that comes from the word, the same thing that means crown or cap or hat. So we pray the rosary, it's as though we crown Mary with little roses. Each Hail Mary is like a rose. You know, I'm reminded especially of this connection of the word rosary with roses from something that happened a couple years ago. I was on my way to a funeral for one of our priests, and there were several priests in the car, and a lot of you will know Father Brian Schieber, who was the vocation director, and he was associate here starting out, and he was my pastor at Most Pure Heart of Mary in Topeka when I was there. Well, he was driving, and there were some other priests in the car, and Father Brian has got a great tradition in his family that whenever they travel in the car, that they would pray the rosary together. And so there we are, four priests in the car on our way down to the funeral, and Father Brian says, how about we pray the rosary? And I thought, well, that's beautiful. And so I took out my rosary. I was in the back seat, and I've got a little rosary that's made of olive wood that comes from Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. And so we took out our rosaries, and we started to pray, and then an amazing thing happened. All of a sudden, throughout the car, although the windows were shut, I could distinctly smell the smell of roses. Now, I've heard about things like this in the saints, that sometimes maybe this is a sign that Mary gives, that she approves of the rosary. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, what a miracle. And then secondly, does anybody else smell this? Well, Father Brian soon removed doubt as he exclaimed, what stinks? I'm like, you smell it then? It's like, yeah. And he rolls down the windows and he tries to get the miracle out of the car. Turns out what had happened was Father John Hollinger, who was in the front seat, his rosary, each little bead was made of actual little crushed rose petals. Someone had given it to him, and there went my miracle right out the window. Father Brian wasn't very happy with the miracle. I thought it was kind of nice. It reminded me of that connection. Yes, each little bead that we pray in the rosary is like a little rose that we give to our mother. Mother's Day is coming up, you know, and you know, next week we're even going to have a big procession where we give roses to honor our mothers. What better way could we honor the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother, than with this beautiful prayer of the rosary? Each Hail Mary is like a rose that we present. You know, as we pray the rosary, I think a lot of times people don't realize how exactly this prayer is actually to be prayed. A lot of times we focus on the vocal prayer, the praying of the Our Fathers and the Hail Marys, and sometimes it's like we think that's the point. Sometimes people go, you know, really fast. You get into those rosary groups, and sometimes it's like, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you, blessed art thou among women, blessed art thou among women, Jesus. I'm like, whew, sold! You know, that's not the point. The point is not to see how many Hail Marys we can say or how fast we can do it. In fact, the real secret of the rosary is not the Hail Marys and the Our Fathers at all. It's what we call the mysteries of the rosary. The joyful mysteries, the luminous mysteries, the sorrowful mysteries, and the glorious mysteries. Four sets of five mysteries in the Lord's life. It's meant to be a meditation on the scripture, a meditation on these events in the life of Jesus, and seeing them particularly through the eyes of Mary. So as we meditate, for instance, on the Annunciation, that first joyful mystery, we might think, what would it have been like for Mary, you know, as the angel Gabriel came? I'll never forget being in Nazareth at the home of Mary, where the angel Gabriel first said these words to Mary, and pondering what that would be like. What would it have been like for Mary to give birth to Jesus? Or what was she feeling when he was lost in the temple? Or what was it like at the wedding feast of Cana when she urged him on to that first miracle? What was it like for Mary as Jesus underwent his passion? What was it like as Jesus rose from the dead? These are the heart of the rosary, to meditate on these mysteries of our salvation. But we do it through the eyes, as it were, of Mary, at the school of Mary. She was there. Our prayer of the rosary is meant to help insert us into those events, to make them real for us even now. There's a beautiful tradition of praying the rosary, of course, in our families. I know my dad speaks of growing up and how his family would pray the rosary together. I once knew a family that their tradition was every night after the family dinner, they would pray the rosary together, and the kids were telling me it didn't matter if our friends were over. It didn't matter if our friends were Jewish. They were going to pray the rosary with us after dinner because that's what the family did. I think that would be a beautiful tradition to take up this Lent. Perhaps praying together, but especially to pray the rosary together. One final kind of thing about the rosary. I can't help but notice that, you know, this circular rosary that we have, it goes around and it comes right back to where it started. as we go round and round over and over again these same mysteries in the life of our Lord, I can't help but notice that we keep bumping into the cross, hanging down, that little hanging down part that jingles against the pews and just kind of seems to get in the way sometimes. I think that's a good kind of image for what our life is really like. Our life, too, is expressed in those mysteries, sometimes joyful, sometimes full of light and everything is clear, sometimes deep in sorrow in the valley of death, at other times glorious when the faith seems so bright. But round and round as we go through this, we keep bumping into that cross. But the good news is that Jesus is on that cross as we look at our rosaries and as we look at our lives. Yes, we bump into the cross as the mysteries of our life unfold, but Jesus is there with us. Jesus is there, and that's why he can tell us in the gospel today, peace. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Do not be troubled or afraid. That's the great joy that the rosary unfolds for us. It's also the great joy that we have from being like little Jesus there in the arms of Mary. If we can place ourselves in the arms of our mother, she will help us to grow, to mature, to become Christ come to full stature. If we can place ourselves in the peaceful arms of Mary, there can be no greater peace there. To know that she is our mother, she loves us, she will help us to be like Jesus. Indeed, in the arms of Mary, we probably most find the fulfillment of what Jesus tells us in the gospel. Peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. With Mary as our mother, we have no cause to be afraid.